yesterday, a few of us, am I too loud for some of you? No? Yesterday, a few of us went to Ellen's funeral, which was a burial in the nature fields at Rugness. Ellen was laid to rest in a field among wildflowers. And as you were talking, Ruth, I was just thinking that, you know, there were so many poppies around the bit where Ellen was laid. And we later went to Kingsland Church, where she worshipped for those last few years of her life. And there was an opportunity to hear from her family and friends about her life. And we sang two hymns which summed up her thinking, and I do hope I've picked that up. I'm sure I have. Because those two hymns really told you what was the root of Ellen. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, was the first one we sang. And Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? And I'll sum up later using something we heard at the funeral from her minister. But where I want us to go today is following on from last week when I shared about the story of David killing Goliath and how his own personal history had prepared him for this day. And I asked you a question, what or who are your demons? And we talked about how praise is an amazing weapon against the enemy. I spoke about the fact that we're not cannon fodder for Satan and that we can stand against the forces of evil in Brighton Sea. We can be people of praise who make a difference. And I mentioned also about drains and radiators and how to choose who you socialise with in order to live a balanced spiritual life and how it was possible to make the choice to mix with people that could be our radiators on a regular basis and would strengthen and encourage us in our faith journey. And we're going to look at some scripture from 2 Corinthians this morning that God led me to this morning. You who get to preach now again will understand what I mean when all of a sudden God changes everything you've been planning and already prepared right at the last minute, and then you have to go and put something else together. And he has his reasons. And sometimes only he has his reasons. You haven't got a clue why you've got something, you've got to change it. Mm-hmm. But there you go. These things happen. So I'm going to have the reading. It is one reading. It's from 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And I printed it out from the Message version. So, who would like to read the first one, and who would like to read the second bit? You read the first one? Okay, thanks, Peter.
All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus, the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a good full measure of that too. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If we are treated well, given a helping hand and an encouraging word, that also works for your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching.
Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. We don't want you in the dark, friends, about how it is when all this came down on us in Asia Problems. It was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. And he did, rescued us from certain doom and he'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of the rescue operation. I don't want you in the dark about that either. I can see your faces even now, lifted in praise for God's deliverance of us, a rescue in which your prayers played such a crucial part.
Thank you. Do you know something? I've found so many times when you're going through something and stuff is really hard and you think, what good is this? There can be no good in this. And yet you're going through it. And I'm talking about the really bad stuff. And yet God uses every single thing. There isn't a thing wasted. And you're working in the prisons all those years, and I used to see lads that have reached the absolute depths. What a mess their life was. And you'd almost rationally think, well, the only hope for him is to meet with Christ and be saved and die, because he's got nothing else. Let him meet his Saviour soon. And yet, it gets transformed. And just like that passage says, you never know when you're going to meet somebody that's going through exactly the same, that you can go alongside and help them share, care, bring God's love into a situation, because you've actually been through it. And I just think that's amazing. Nothing, and this is what really, really helps me, not a single thing is wasted when it's in God's hands. Our prayer time is vital. And we've talked about fasting and praying, and I hope that some of you at least are managing to do this and make notes of what you feel God is saying to you. Stephanie reminded me just before she went away that there's an opportunity to do a 24-hour vigil, prayer vigil. Now, I know that in my son's church in Cheadle, that's something they do regularly, once a year. I think it's about once a year. And they have a 24-hour time of prayer. And the church is open, and people can come and at whatever time they set their alarms or whatever, and they keep it covered. And they may do an hour, or they may do a couple of hours, but then they go and other people replace them. And I think they have a rota by which, you know, we know who's been praying. And some people can't come into the church and pray but want to be part of it, so you know that they're going to be praying at home. But a 24-hour prayer vigil. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is wonderful. I would love us to be part of a 24-hour prayer vigil somehow, either on a bigger level or even for our church. 24-hour. If we were fasting, and that's what they usually do as well, they're fasting during that 24 hours, that particular day, and the amount of stuff and barriers and blockades that get broken down when you actually commit like that to Christ and just pray. And we've got a future ahead of us now that we need to be praying into. And I'm just excited. I'm not frightened by the future. I'm excited. Because I know God's got something good. Many of us are going through hard times at this moment. And it's a reminder of how fragile life is. The second song we sang yesterday at Ellen's funeral is the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? It's all very easy to be a comfy Christian. And as I said last week, I think it's wrong when people say, come to Christ, everything's going to be sold. I think, Sarah, I think you can answer that. You can say, when you came to Christ, the whole thing went upside down for a bit, didn't it? But at least you knew your Saviour was within it. But, you know, life is difficult. It is very difficult. And it doesn't get easier on pressure when we're a Christian, but we have that peace and that knowledge that he's there. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? I'm thinking about the interregnum that you're going to be starting in October. And it should be a growth time for the church, an opportunity to work together as a team, using the individual gifts, put your tongue in the right place, the individual gifts that we each have. Putting those gifts together to enrich the body of Christ, because it's his church. And I think very often an interregnum is a strengthening of the body of Christ. Well, today I want to talk to you about something else that I hope will guide you into a deeper walk with God and see the promises of God worked out in our lives. I want to talk to you about becoming a member of the positive thinking group. I can hear you all cringing. And use scripture to grow the habit. Negativity destroys. The devil feeds on it. He uses negativity. He uses that in our thinking. He attacks us with it when we're weak and vulnerable. And 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, when you can't pick the phone up and talk to anybody, is always the worst time. Early hours of the morning. Do you know, he's awful. And he attacks us most when we're weak and vulnerable. And he wants to keep us vulnerable. He doesn't want us to be strong. And you know, some people can make you feel negative. And that's why I always say, choose your company with care. When you're feeling low, don't go meet with somebody else who's feeling low for a minute. Get some ammunition, if you like, by being around with a few positive thinkers for a bit. Re-radiators. The enemy doesn't have to do very much, which is why I say choose your company with care. He doesn't have to do much. He can use our negative friends. He can use people. I mean, I go in the pub, try and go in the pub at least every 3 weeks or so. And I haven't been for the last month or two because things have been different. But I try and get in there every 3 weeks, and I don't stay in there very long. 3/4 of an hour, enough time to down half a Guinness, and a chat with some of the friends that would never dream of coming to church, and they're swearing and bad-mouthing and all of that. And there's always the opportunity to be light in the dark quarter. Just the fun. Just, you know, you can actually, I have fun in the pub. And it isn't just because of the this. I love the banter and the chit-chat. And then I just pray before I go in there. But I don't know what I'm going to say. And it isn't until I come out that I think about it. It's got about 3/4 of an hour in there. But I've dropped seeds of hope along the way. And enjoyed my Guinness. Thank you, Lord. You bless me always. He uses his influence to disturb us. And when he's tugged us in every which way, we've become unable to operate effectively. Sometimes we just need to put a stop to it all and tell the enemy to butt out. And I was watching Joyce Meyer earlier this week, and she was saying, why do we not speak to the devil? He speaks to us. So they need to turn around and tell him to clear off. And come out with the positive. Anything negative he said to you, speak the positive. Speak into the air around you. When he's telling you that you're rubbish, you turn around and you say, no, you're not. I'm not. I'm loved by God, and therefore I am worthwhile. Take time to speak positive truths out loud. How much better to live our lives being positive instead of complaining. If Ellen could put a positive spin on her situation, then so can we. She was very much a radiator. When you went to see Ellen, you just came away glowing from what you'd been hearing from her, how she'd been, just her personality.
Her sights were focused and set on Father. And I know that when we're struggling, it's difficult to come to a place of thinking and acting positively, because we actually don't want to do that. But I can tell you, wallowing isn't going to help. It starts from the words that come into our minds, and then we give them air space. Use your Bible, read it, speak it out loud. I love those Gideon Bibles where they've got all sorts of problems that you might be going through on one page, and you can sort of look up. Whatever it is you're going through, it's there. You can find a scripture to speak out loud. Speak out loud positive things. And what you feed into the airspace around you takes root and finds a home, even if it's only in you. I know you might think I'm bonkers, but I do this quite regularly. I wander around talking to myself. And yes, I do live alone, so that's quite easy to do. But I'm sure even you lovely married people can find a way of speaking out on your own. And I was pleased to find Joyce Mayer talking about exactly this subject this week in a TV series. And she talked about getting positive words out there, feeding the air around you with positive speaking. And watch the atmosphere change. And that's the lovely bit. Well, this is the conclusion. So I'm going to close with an antidote to frustration and misery. One, count your blessings, not your problems. Two, be a giver, not a taker. Three, speak out the positive elements of your life and give thanks. Four, give thanks to God in all situations and in all places. And five, smile. When you're walking around, smile. Ian, Ellen's minister, said as he was preparing what he should say about Ellen yesterday, that he actually asked God, what were his memories of Ellen's life? And God told him this, and he took it from Exodus 31. Exodus 31, it reads like this. God spoke to Moses, "See what I've done. I've personally chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and Hur, son of Hur, and from the tribe of Judah. I've filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him skill and know-how and expertise in every kind of craft to create designs and work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set gemstones, to carve wood. He's an all-round craftsman." God told Ian that Ellen had accomplished good works through her art. There's a lady sitting in here, and I know she's not going to like it when I go pinpoint her, but this lady does the most beautiful craft work. Absolutely stunning stuff. And she would never think that she's clever. She would never think she's gifted. Can I tell you, the scripture tells me you are very gifted. Stunning stuff that lady does. Thank you, Maureen. You bring so much beauty into the world by what you sow and create. Ian said that Ellen was a good imitator of God, and that all during her illness, she was never bitter. And I wrote that down, never bitter. When we get upset, when we get angry, when we're hurting, when life is rubbish around us or to us, we get bitter. And I will freely admit, I do sometimes get bitter and angry. The first song we sang yesterday was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I tell you, bitterness didn't come into Ellen's life. This is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story,
This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. That was Ellen's take on life as a Christian. Let's pray. Loving